Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. And this is our pilot episode for Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. As, of course, you know, the North American Mission Board is sponsoring this, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it. My name is Dan Hurst. Mark and I have known each other for many, many years. Mark, let's talk a little bit about this program. What do you envision for it for the future?
Well, I think it's going to be the best podcast that's ever been done in the entire galaxy, and you might as well go ahead and put it in the Podcast Hall of Fame. Right, it's a pilot podcast.
Write
I don't
in.
Know. You or I, neither one know how to fly anything, so it could crash pretty easily. But really, we just want to help pastors, help churches find Jesus' plan for their church. He has a plan for every church. We want to help them do that. We want to carry on conversations with guys who are replanting and revitalizing to learn what God's doing where they are. We want to create a brotherhood of men who are out there in the difficult places every single day doing what God wants them to do in some really tough places. And we just want to have a good time while we do it, provide a lot of information, a lot of insight, point everybody to Jesus, and give a lot of hope about dying churches. That is what we want to do. And listen, we couldn't be in a better place, Dan. By the way, Dan and I go way back. I mean, our dads were roommates in college.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how far back. And we went to college together. We started some businesses together, you and I.
Oh, piano rebuilding.
We rebuilt one piano, and then as we were delivering it, it fell out of the back of the truck.
True story.
Into 100 pieces, and we just took it to the dump. Anyway, I digress. So Dan and I go way back. We're going to have a good time on this podcast with Dan. But our regular guest, and we'll have different guests from time to time, but our regular guest is the one and only Mark Halleck. And you need to know this. As we do this inaugural pilot podcast, Dan, we are in Ground Central. We are in the Holy of Holies for church replanting. We are at the Calvary Church in Englewood, where Mark Halleck is the pastor. Mark came here years ago, replanted it. It has grown tremendously. It has 30 churches across the mountain states in the Calvary network of churches. And so we're doing these initial podcasts from Calvary Church in Englewood, right here in Denver, right here in Mark Halleck's basement is where we are. Mark?
Man,
glad
guys.
To have you with
oh,
us.
So excited to be with you guys. Thanks for coming to, that was a very nice introduction, by the way.
Well, it's
I mean, I'll tell you what, this is a very unimpressive room, but God has done really, really amazing things through this little church.
Unimpressive is probably an overstatement, but God is very much here.
Amen, bud. Amen.
I mean,
we're so
tell
grateful.
You, look, I'm not into numbers. If you've listened to our podcast, you know that numbers, I'm not into numbers, but I'm going to give you numbers right now. This church had about 30 people when you showed up.
Yeah.
And on any given weekend now, how many attend?
Well, our congregation is about 800 people.
About 800 people. Yeah. This gives you some comparison to that.
Yeah.
There were three at Linwood when I showed up, and now there's about 40.
And so, hey, you know, praise God, bud.
So most of us pastor churches of 40 or 50. But I love Mark. His heart is so right on.
And, our heart is smaller to normative size congregations need new life. And that's why we're passionate about replanting other churches and going to communities that are forgotten areas and forgotten churches.
And Mark has written so many great books. We'll put some of them in the show notes. But really, we are just proud to be here in Denver at Mark's church doing these first broadcasts live with Mark, myself, and Dan. So Dan, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about the pillars of ministry, the preach, pray, love, stay. And I thought it would be interesting to just let Mark Halleck talk a little bit about that first point. When you go to preach, you started this ministry. And by the way, when I walked into this building, the thing that caught my eye above everything else, we were walking down the hallway, I saw the door that said playground. And right next to the door, there's a sign that says, fall on your knees. I thought that was perfect. Anyway, let's talk about when you started this ministry, how did you know what to preach? How did you decide and where to go from there?
Well, I mean, first of all, it begins with a conviction that God does his work through his word. And that means he's called us as men to come and to faithfully preach his word. In fact, I don't think, I mean, we could talk about all kinds of tactics and techniques. The bottom line is God loves to bring new life through the preaching of his word. It brings life to people who are dead in their sins. It brings encouragement to those who are saved and need encouragement. It brings hope to those who are hopeless. And so from the very beginning, we knew that, look, if this church is going to be about God and his glory, then his word must be not only central to it, but the foundation of everything we do. So even from the very beginning, we preach verse by verse through books of the Bible here. I began with the book of James, and from the very beginning, our heart was, you know, James is going to help us do a couple things. One, it's going to help us see that we're called to be a church that loves the gospel, that understands the gospel, that Jesus is everything. It's his grace we're saved. It's his grace that is our hope. At the same time, the grace of Christ leads us to be a people who radically love people and to serve people. So faith without works is dead. And this community was one that didn't just need a bunch of Christians who talk the talk. They needed to see people who actually want to walk the walk and love them with the love of Jesus.
Take just a minute and tell me about this community.
Yeah, so this community is a very, we call it, it's part of the donut of Denver. So you've got the inner city of Denver, which increasingly is pretty hip and cool. A lot of churches being planted. Praise the Lord. Then you've got the suburbs of Denver, which are pretty typical suburbs. We live in this kind of weird in-between donut that a lot of folks who can't afford to live in the city now live in this area. So it's very diverse ethnically, economically. And it's a place that's quite honestly forgotten. And so we see many churches that were built post-World War II that are now in these areas and sitting with 20, 30 people.
It's called the Inner Suburban Ring. And when you look at the majority of churches in cities that are closing, they are in the Inner Suburban Ring. And so that's a really important thing. And Mark has a lot of experience with that. Hey, when you talk about preaching, though, I love the thing that you did on James. I think it's great. And I love the fact that you did verse by verse. Because a lot of these churches, they sort of had Bible bingo their whole life.
Yeah.
You know, show up one Sunday, hear one scripture.
Yeah.
But also Christ-centered preaching, right?
Amen, amen. Preaching the gospel through it all. I mean, it's like Jesus is the point. And what I know is when we came to this church, you had tired folks who loved the Lord, but needed fresh fire.
Yeah.
They needed to rediscover that passion for Jesus, his love for them. And so as we preach the word, we've got to preach toward our hope in Christ always. We're not just trying to make Bible nerds.
Right.
You know, we want to see men and women on fire for the Lord, enjoying their Savior.
Yeah, we talk about all the time in revitalization, one of the first things you have to do is get the remaining members, their hearts to warm back to the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. You have a Spanish ministry here also.
Yes.
Does the preaching parallel what you do in English?
Actually, the Spanish congregation kind of does their own thing, but I would say the heart is the same for sure. We want to exalt Christ. We want to teach the Bible. And a part of it is we're in a city that's very unchurched. So people didn't grow up in this part of the country reading the Bible. They don't know their Bible. So part of preaching the word expositionally like we do is teaching the scriptures. And so with our Hispanic congregation, it's really cool to see God bringing folks who came out of a Catholic background, other backgrounds, beginning to fall in love with the word of God. And as a result, falling in love with Jesus.
Well, along with that, of course, that pillar of preaching comes the pillar of praying, which is the balance, if you will. Mark, talk about prayer in revitalization.
Well, one of my favorite lines is that, you know, what John Piper says, prayer is wartime communication.
Mm.
I always think about being, you know, we're pinned down on the beach at Normandy, and man, you couldn't move, and there was a few destroyers that were out there in the channel, and they got as close as they possibly could. And if you were able to get your hands on a radio, man, you could radio back to one of those destroyers and say, hey, take out that pillbox, you know. And really, that's what prayer is. It is wartime communication, because when you go to a dying church, man, Satan has dominion on that place. He's really got a hand in that, and he's not going to just walk away because you show up. And you're going to be involved in spiritual warfare that's going to affect your finances, could be your health, your emotions, your family. We've heard it all of our lives, Mark. You and I have, and
amen.
Dan,
that's
you have
exactly
too.
Right. That's right.
Dan's folks were missionaries in Honduras. He grew up in Honduras. He saw that firsthand. And so prayer is really, like I said, wartime communication, where we really pray the power of God to come and to intercede on our behalf. It's also prayer helps strengthen us and encourage us and get our mind and our heart aligned with what Jesus wants to do in that church. I can't say enough about prayer. It's amazing, you know. Don Whitney, one time at Southern Seminary, said, I heard him say that there's nothing about prayer that appeals to our flesh. And, you know, good preaching can appeal to the flesh. I mean, it can. Just a good speaker, someone who's entertaining and can put a good thought together and tell a good story, do a narrative. That's kind of entertaining. Church architecture can appeal to our flesh. Maybe not this church, but other church architecture. I'm just kidding.
No, listen, but I'm with you.
I was cold. Church architecture can appeal to our flesh, you know. Music, all kind of music. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But you talk about prayer.
Yeah.
There's nothing about prayer that really appeals to our flesh. Totally. And so we have to really, really battle it and work to discipline ourselves to pray. And that's because the adversary knows how much he doesn't want us to pray. And so he tries to get us to do everything except
prayer. Another thing, too, that we found here is what prayer, it's a statement you're making, not only to the Lord, but to the community and to your people to say, listen, this church isn't just going to come back to life because of some methodology or some cool trick. We want to be our men and women on our faces that are desperate to say, God, if you don't move in power, we're hopeless here. Right. And that's a posture that I would say has shaped the hearts of our people, which then shapes the heart of a church, that even as you begin to grow, you stay on your faces and say, right, Lord, you do whatever you want to do here, but we are yours. And so that act of submission, who are we to be arrogant to think, look what I did to grow this church. This is the Lord's work.
Right.
And that begins on our knees. That begins on our faces. Ian Bounds years ago wrote a great book. I'll never forget it, on prayer. I wrote a lot of books on prayer. And he says, you know, what men are looking for is more machinery. And what he said that is more quick methodology, these kinds of things. What God's looking for are men of prayer.
There you go.
And that's what we've got to be. And that's what we've got to raise up more and more in this replanting movement.
And, you know, cast some shade on your building. The building here was built in the mid-century.
Yep.
It looks like every mid-century Southern Baptist church you've ever seen.
That's right.
The worship center looks like a bowling alley, long and narrow.
That's
right.
That's right.
Red brick, you know.
White steeple, the whole deal.
Put together three or four different times.
Yep.
A lot of volunteer labor inside. But the point of all that is, God does something amazing here every week in this building that you would not walk in this building and go, oh, this is why the church is growing. It's got all the flood bells and whistles. It's got all the coffee shops. It's got Six Flags Over Jesus for the kids. Right. None of that. It is not those things that bring people back to Christ. It's not those things that transform lives and communities. It's people who act like Jesus and live like Jesus.
Amen.
And that is really, as you say, it begins with prayer.
That's
changes
it.
Our heart.
That's absolutely right.
The whole thing. So you got to preach and you got to pray.
Yep. And so do your strategy toward teaching them to pray begins with their own personal lives.
Yep.
And because if they're not changing, the church isn't changing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So the combination of your preaching and your praying is a strategy to build the individual?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Absolutely. I think it's both. I think it's the individual. We want to see men and women become in love, not only in love with Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? Which starts on your knees. But then also, we pray that God would move in power in this city that is filled with so many people who don't know the Lord Jesus. And so I just believe a praying church, man, God works through praying churches to do great things in his kingdom for his glory.
It is absolutely true. Wherever God's people pour their heart out and pray, God does something there.
Amen.
Always. I don't understand all the connections to that.
Yep.
I know God's sovereignty. I'm all about that. Yep. I don't think that, you know, he's not our bellboy. We can make him do what we want. But I do know that when we pray, things happen.
That's right.
And I think it's absolutely, without a doubt, that's true. And it's something that you and I have experienced in our lives. Dan and I have experienced in our lives. And I know the guys who are listening to us have experienced too. And it's a reason Satan doesn't want us to pray.
That's exactly right.
He wants us to do everything except that.
That's right.
And by the way, think about how hard it is sometimes to get our people to be people of prayer. Richard Blackaby said something that just blew me away, and I've never forgotten it. And I want to give him credit for it, because usually I don't give him credit for it. But here it is. So Richard, if you're listening, all right? Who do you think the people in your church hear pray publicly more than anybody else in their life? They hear me as the pastor. So what about the way I pray in public on Sunday morning makes them say, I can't wait to go home and do that?
Wow.
That's the most important thing I've ever heard. Or do what they hear me pray is just a chain of cliches that I pray every single week?
That's right.
He also said we would be very careful about putting someone in our pulpit to preach who did not know how to preach.
Mm.
He said, but we don't mind a bit taking somebody up there to say a prayer that doesn't really know how to pray in public. And he said, we got to be careful how we model for people what prayer is. He said, think about how much time you spend preparing to talk to your people about God, your sermon prep.
Yes.
By the way, I don't like the name sermon prep. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, but he said, also think about how little time you spend preparing to talk to God in front of your people.
Mm.
And modeling for your people prayer is in many ways as important as what you say in your sermon.
That's right.
So I think we just, and I've one last thing I'll say. Too many times in our churches, prayer is transition for the choir or the worship team to get up or to sit down. Or if you know, it's like you'll be up there and the worship leader will pray, and while he's praying, the worship team goes and sits down. Like, really? Yeah. You're talking to the King of the universe. You're talking to the God of all. You could stand there while he prays. You don't need to be seated. So even the way we treat prayer as a transition in worship is a problem for us. So.
Okay, let me say one thing practically.
You know, we're not going to get done with this. It's 20 minutes.
I mean, come on. Here, real quick. I got to say it. We got to say it.
We're about out of time.
You got to do this.
What?
If you want to become a praying church, you've got to be intentional in saying, look, we're going to bring back the prayer meeting. Now, that could look a lot of different ways, but I can tell you where it started here. It started at 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings with myself and a sweet old lady named Eva Mock.
Really?
We did her funeral a few years ago. And Eva and I would come in here at 7. We're the only ones here. We invited everybody. And we would pray together out loud to the Lord, call out to the Lord for 30 minutes every Wednesday morning for years. And it slowly grew a little bit. It's never been big. But I can tell you, I look back to those times with Eva as statements to the Lord, say, God, this is your church, and we're calling out to you. And that's one of the sweetest memories. And so I would say to listeners, even if it's just you and your Eva, man, start a prayer meeting and start calling out to the Lord.
You know, the book I wrote, Reclaiming Glory, talks about the story we had at Warnell Road in Kansas City. Mm. Same thing. 18 people when I got there. Maybe we swelled to about 30 after 2 years of my hard labor. And in a sanctuary that seated 600. But it was when a young man named Kumar, who was a relatively recent Christian, said, I want to come pray with you. And I said, sure. So he did it 10 o'clock on Thursday night. So he'd go home and put his family to bed. And I remember Kumar showed up and he said he wanted to pray for an hour. And he said, I want to pray not for the church, not for the community. I want us to pray for ourselves that we would pursue holiness and desire God.
I love it.
And that began a prayer. Then later on, another young man came, and another young man came. And that was a turning point for us as well. So
powerful.
Anyway.
So powerful.
One of the great motivations for prayer and obviously for preaching, and we've already alluded to it, but we really need to address it, and it's the third pillar, and that is you've just got to fall in love with the people.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. You've got to love them. And you know, the issue is if you don't love your people, it isn't an issue of trying to change your heart or change their heart or change their attitude or even necessarily change your heart toward them. Mm-hmm. The way you love your people is to love Jesus more.
Amen. That's right.
The more you love Jesus, the more you'll love his people.
That's right. It's the overflow.
And so sometimes we focus on trying to change them or even trying to change ourselves. Yeah. Just love Jesus more and you will love the unlovely in your church.
That's so good.
And also Jared Wilson says, you know, the problem with most of us as pastors is we're in love with the church we want, not the church we have.
Yeah.
And you've got to love the church you have, the church Jesus gave you, before he'll bring anybody
else.
That's
so good, man. That's so exactly right.
I tell my people all the time that love, in the practical sense, is allowing God to do something in someone else's life through you.
Mm. There you go.
And
that's
so, good, you know, the only way that I can love my people is if God loves through me and touches them. Which brings us to the fourth pillar, and that is staying.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, you've got to spend time with them. You've got to stay with them.
Yeah. And we talk all the time in church revitalization that year two and three is the hardest. And that's when most guys tap out. First year or two, you're still getting to learn each other. They want you to come make a bunch of changes. And then the second year, they realize how painful those changes are.
That's right.
Or something called the berry bucket. That's an old church growth kind of thing. Basically, when you think of a seesaw and there's two buckets, one's full of berries, so that's got all the weight. Those are the people that were there when you got there.
Mm.
But then as the church begins to grow, the other bucket gets new berry, you get it?
Totally.
And the center of gravity shifts. And when the older people realize that they're become the minority and there's a new berry bucket and there's more people that are coming than used, then they get real antsy about the future and about their control. That I shouldn't have used the berry bucket. That's very confusing, I realize.
I love it. I just love it. I have no clue. I'm going to keep encouraging you. I'm going to rub your shoulders. I love it. It's unbelievable. No, but I get what you're saying, though. And it's true.
Yes.
And it is. It's staying through thick and thin. Listen, commitment is not a thing. One of the things we talk about in Denver is the only thing people are really committed to is being non-committal.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge in churches. But are we modeling that faithfulness year in and year out, loving people through the ups and downs, faithfully preaching the word, praying, showing up, and to see what God does through just that long haul, faithful ministry. And I just think this one of the things we got to help young guys understand, the joy of perseverance. And our good friend Brian Croft has written a lot on this.
Yeah, he has.
And has done great work in encouraging this very thing. But you've got to stay.
You got to stay. And that year two and three is the toughest years. But after that, and I mean four and five, year four and five, six, you begin to kind of crop the hill, top the hill, and you begin to, it begins to change the momentum a little bit. So we talk about preach. You know, we have a t-shirt that says replant, preach, pray, love, and stay. Yep. I was at the airport one time wearing that t-shirt, and this lady came up to me and she goes, "You know, I've never thought about preaching to them, but I guess it would work." And I said, "Okay, what do you mean?" She said, "Plant." She said, "I replant my plants every year."
No way.
She said, "I know you gotta love and you gotta pray. I pray for my plants and stay, but I guess I could preach to them." Serious, as hard, I'm serious I could be, man. She thought that was about replanting plants. You
that
preach.
Is awesome.
She said, "I guess you could preach to them."
Let me wrap this up because we're out of time. We promise that all of our episodes are going to be somewhere between 20 to 25 minutes. So because we know that the folks that listen are very busy. But along this side of staying, you can't expect the people to stay if you don't stay.
Amen. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Good word.
That's exactly right.
So let's wrap this up. Any final words that you'd like to say, Mark Clifton?
I think we should do another podcast.
Let's do it, man. Let's keep going.
Keep going. Hey, please subscribe to this podcast. I mean, all three of us, Dan and Mark and myself, we're very, you know, we're easily, we're very shy people and we...
Sensitive.
Very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
We have very low self-esteem. And so we really need you to subscribe so that we'll keep going.
It would be so encouraging.
It would be so encouraging. And yeah, get your friends to subscribe.
Part of the point of that is that we're building a new audience.
That's right.
Right.
Know? And so if you subscribe to other ones.
In fact, you could be the very first subscriber. If you get on right now, you could be the or you could be the charter subscribers.
Charter subscribers.
Charter members of a church.
Oh,
there you go.
That trip to the Holy Land we were giving away. Sorry, you're too late.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.